the Shadow Treasurer, Angus Taylor, joins me. Angus, good afternoon.
G'day, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Plenty to get through, not a lot of time, so let's do our best here. Look, cost of living, that's the big issue out there in listener land, cost of living. There are some things the government are doing. There's a lot more they could be doing. There's some things they're not doing that they should be doing. But let's just for a moment throw you back on the government bench and let's look, for example, at the rental market. I mean, this is where a lot of people are really feeling the pinch at the moment. It is being driven in large part, as we know, by these record immigration levels that we're seeing. 100,000 people, for goodness sake, permit arrivals in just February. I mean, it's record-breaking stuff. It does have an immediate and obvious direct impact on the rental market. What would the coalition do to ease immigration levels if you got back to government?
Well, you've got to get those levels back into line with housing supply. It's as simple as that. You can't have over a million adult Australians being added to the population, which is what we've seen since Labor came to power, and about half the number of houses you need to support that. We've seen around 250,000 houses. We need close to double that if you're going to support that kind of growth in population, but we haven't seen it. So you've got to get it back into line. We're going to have more to say about this in the coming weeks and months, Michael, but the starting point is to say we've got to get that back into line. And the government has absolutely failed to do it. You do have to get more housing supply out. That's partly states. It's partly also making sure that you're keeping enough investment in infrastructure, because there's nothing that annoys people in my electorate more than seeing houses going up without the roads and other infrastructure.
Well, I quite agree. I mean, that is too often the story. You say there'll be more to say in the months ahead, and I appreciate that. We're not in an election tomorrow, but yeah. I mean, I've spoken to Dan Teen about this. I've spoken to a number of coalition people about this. Everybody says we should have fewer migrants, yet no one can say even roughly what that number should look like. I mean, surely you're in a position to say if we're getting 600,000 a year, it's too many. Yeah. It should be 300 or 400, give or take. I mean, what sort of number would you aim for?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think the best way to answer that is to look at history, which is to say that when we were in government, it was closer to 200,000. So less than half of what we've actually been seeing is a sustainable number for this country. We know we can manage that. It's not easy, by the way. You've got to make sure you're investing in the infrastructure to support that, or else even that number doesn't work.
Because the business lobby, the universities, they'll all be saying, no, keep it going.
Say that again.
They'll say the universities, the business lobby, they'll be in your ear. Keep it going. They want these numbers.
Yeah, and we're seeing record levels of international students. We've never seen numbers like this before. That's been one of the really big numbers that's grown at a remarkable level. Of course, they make a lot of money out of it, but they're not the ones who have to house these people, and they haven't been. So this is not a sustainable situation right now. As I said, historically, the number was less than half of what we've actually been seeing, Michael. And the pressures are everywhere. It's not just in the rental market, rental market. It's also in the housing market itself, more generally.
Right. Yeah.
Young Australians. I mean, I worry about my kids. I don't have grandkids yet, but I've got four kids aged between 18 and 25, and the potential for them to own a home. It's a very different situation to when I was their age. And I think this is something that has to be solved. The immediate thing is to get immigration back into line with housing supply, and then we have to make sure that we've got the housing coming through. And we don't all want to live in industry union super funds that are building big apartments around railway stations. Sure, some people are happy to live there, but people want gardens and standalone houses as well.
Yeah, well, so they're under pressure. Okay, so the answer to that, closer to the 200,000. Good. Now, one other issue here, of course, is the supermarkets. Now, there was a report, I think March 30 in the Herald, that suggested you and David Littleproud were in advanced talks within the shadow cabinet on new divestiture laws, basically laws that threaten to break up the supermarkets if they misuse their market power. I mean, is that true? And assuming it is, what would it look like?
Yeah, so we are working our way through how we can make sure that we've got more competition in our supermarket sector. One thing we committed to and have been arguing for a long time is to get the grocery code mandatory, have proper penalties in place. That's really important, not just for consumers, but for suppliers, farmers who need to get a fair deal from the supermarkets. And we've heard lots of egregious examples of bad behaviour on that front. More generally, we're concerned that supermarkets have been locking up land that their competitors might be able to access to get more competition into the market. That's That's been a long-standing practice. There's been measures that have been taken under previous governments to try to reduce it, but we've just heard from Metcash in the last few days about genuine concerns that that's still an issue. And so if you've got a suburb or a town where one of the supermarkets is locking up all the land so others can't get in, that's a major issue. They shouldn't be able to do that. And that is something I have to say we are looking at. We're not going to go with a ham-fisted approach. We want to make sure that competition policy delivers a good outcome for consumers. That's the key. It's all about making sure consumers and suppliers get a fair deal. And so we're not rushing into this, but we are working our way through it.
So the only reason I ask about the divestiture thing particularly is because I think the previous coalition government bunged that on in the energy space. Now, that was more like the nuclear bomb option. It was the threat, never used, but the idea was having it there would influence behaviour. As I said, it was never used. I mean, is that the similar thinking here? You'd have this on the books, you'd never want to use it, it's just a threat.
Well, I was minister when we did that, and we used it as a basis for driving prices down, and we're now seeing the exact opposite from this government, so it was the right thing to do. We didn't have to use it. You'd prefer not to use it. These powers do exist in most advanced countries in the world. They're not used much. But the threat of them can play a real role, and I think it did in the energy market. I don't think this government's making any use of that. They were always against it, to be frank, and opposed getting it through the parliament for a long, long time. But they can be useful, and as I say, we'll do anything that's going to put downward pressure on prices right now, because we know what pain people are feeling when they go to the supermarket.
All right, now I'm out of time. We'll speak again hopefully very shortly, Angus. I'm getting texts from people worried about this push constantly for a cashless society. We'll deal with that as your role as Shadow Treasurer. We'll also look at petrol next time we speak. Have a good weekend in the meantime.
Very happy to talk about both of those on another time. Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure. Angus Taylor, the Shadow Treasurer.